The 14th chapter of John begins as follows. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. And the occasion for this statement by the Master is that the disciples are now more or less convinced that he plans to leave them. And they're frightened. Not only frightened, they don't want him to go. And there's this area of concern among them. And now the real deeper inner teaching begins in earnest. They have been prepared for something. They have witnessed miracles. Some of us have witnessed some form of miracle. And then there's the moment when you know that God outside isn't going to do anything for you. You're going to have to come to terms with your own identity. And he's preparing them for this. You believe in God. Now, believe in me. And this becomes a great turning point in our work. Up to a point, we've been able to say, I know some truth. Or I have witnessed spiritual reality to a degree. But now we are being driven to a point of acceptance that me means Christ. Not external to you, but within you. You believe in God, now believe in me. And the belief in Christ as the withinness of your own true being is vital because until you have accepted, until you have lived in Christ, you cannot know infinity. There is no way to know infinity except by being the individualization of infinity. The infinite Father, the infinite Spirit individualizes as Christ, and Christ alone knows the Father. Christ alone goes to the Father. Christ alone receives of the Father. And it is pointless to attempt to make the flesh comprehend or receive of the Father. Now, when you give the sop to Judas, when you not only recognize corporeality as the barrier, but are perfectly willing to see the non-power of it because of non-existence, then you have given the sop. Now you can look at any miracle in the world, particularly those miracles that were demonstrated in the Bible, and you can see that in each case, Judas was given the sop. The cripple was our human sense of corporeality. When you give the sop to Judas, you're not only identifying corporeality as the villain, but you're doing nothing to change that corporeality. You're recognizing the non-power of corporeality to cause that which is called a crippling. But who does all this? The Christ mind. The tongue that does it has no power. The words of truth have no power. They are not the word that is made flesh. Only Christ in you has the power to give the sop to Judas. All human power is a counterfeit. And so you might stand in all kind of human sense of power or human sense of intellect and try to do everything that Christ did and find that you have no power in spite of your complete understanding. Your understanding would go no further than the finite mind. and it does not go to God. So now we come to the Master's statement, and that is Christ in you saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, now believe in me. There's a slow resting in the infinite silence of your being, a slow realization that Christ in me is saying now, acknowledge me. Acknowledge me every second of your life. Without ceasing, acknowledge me. The bread of this world will no longer do, only the bread of the Christ. The wine and the water of this world will no longer do, only the divine fountain. Now rest in Christ I am. Do not make the mistake of saying Christ I am with a human body. Christ I am with human neighbors. Christ I am with a material world. You cannot be I am and I am not at the same time. We are preparing for transfiguration. And there's a story somewhere in Luke, I don't recall the exact place, where Christ passes by and a man gets up on a tree in order to see him better. And he receives the inner light. You will find that that is symbolic of what we must do. We must keep rising in consciousness in order to receive more light. And only as you rise in consciousness, receiving more light, do you begin to glorify the Father. And until you glorify the Father, you are of the earth, earthly, of the flesh, fleshly, and you are glorifying the personal sense of man rather than the love of God. Now we must rise higher and higher, and the demand now is to rise out of corporeality. Not to talk about it, but to practice living in your only self, the incorporeal Christ. And the way given to us to do this is given just back a bit in the 13th chapter. And now a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This was what became the second commandment in the other Gospels. Once you acknowledge Christ in you, and then acknowledge Christ in all who come into your consciousness, you are loving your neighbor. And this is the equivalent of climbing higher on the tree, for love purifies. As you recognize Christ in you, Christ in your neighbor through love, your love is a sign of the recognition of Christhood there. And this now is presented to us as a requirement if we are to enter the transfiguration of life. Only Christ is transfigured. There is no human transfiguration. There is no human in the kingdom of heaven. There is no wisdom in a human mind. The disciples, the various phases of the human mind, were willing to accept the commandment, except that it had no real deep meaning for them. All they could think of when they heard it is, he's going to leave us. Here it is in 31. Therefore, 31 of 13, therefore when he was gone out, referring to Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. This is a revelation here that corporeality is the myth, the dream of man. You cannot receive the enlightenment of Christ in your corporeal self. Judas cast out is the beginning of the glorification of the Father, and then the Father glorifies himself in the Son. Now I think you might begin to find that all of your so-called dark nights of the soul have not yet begun. They were human dilemmas, but you're coming closer to your dark night now when you firmly resolve that your days as a corporeal being are soon over. Unless you are practicing the presence of Christ where you stand, you've reached the place where to you the message falls on deaf ears, where something in you refuses to conquer the false sense of self. Now, this is not going to be an easy task. It's going to be a very frustrating one. And you're going to have all second doubts that you can think of. But unless you are willing to put forth the effort to accept the Christ body as the spiritual self of you, and the Christ mind as the spiritual mind of you, and then to know that I have no other body than this spiritual body. I have no other mind than this spiritual mind. And with diligence, with dedication, with love of the Father, to practice frequently during the day, even if at short intervals, contemplations about I am a spiritual body, not a physical body. I am divine mind, not a human. I am Christ, not mortal being. I am eternal life, not a temporary lifespan. I am light, not human flesh. The mind can do nothing with these truths because they're only words. They must be considered in silence. The wisdom of them must open to you. And only in this inner stillness, as the soul faculty is opened again and again, will you be lifted above the world karma, the world conditions, the world beliefs, which have enslaved us for centuries beyond count. There must be continuous contemplation on these subjects. There is no one on earth can do it out of memory. It's only when the sweetness in the stillness opens itself into you and gently reveals what the human mind does not know. Then certain aspects of your identity come to you in a way that are undeniable, that never leave you. And they, like climbing the tree, lift you higher and higher until you're in a position to receive still from a higher source, for I go before you. To glorify the Father means certainly not to glorify the human personality or the human body or the human sense of life. It means to bring forth out of the invisible that which already exists. To show forth. To manifest. And so you're brought to a closer understanding of the Trinity. The infinite invisible is the Father. the infinite invisible, individualizes as yourself, the Christ. And the activity of the Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, is the invisible manifestation from the one source through the Christ into invisible flesh. And as you dwell in the one self, not separated, as a mortal mind is, you find the Trinity is functioning and the invisible manifestation of the Holy Ghost becomes your visible supply, your visible harmony, your visible peace. These are only the added things. For when you have found Christ in you becomes your lifeline to the infinite, which then comes flowing through Christ as the Holy Ghost, appearing as every essential form. We are not going in to Christ for the forms. We're going into Christ to live our eternal life. The glorification of the Father is living in the oneness which manifests in the visible the divine qualities of the infinite. Now then, as Christ, you are not finite being. As physical flesh, you are. And because only infinite being can receive of the infinite spirit, as long as you maintain the illusion of being in the flesh, that is your separation from the infinite qualities of the Father. All that the Father hath cannot flow through the corporeal unit. And so now the needle's eye is very narrow. It will not admit a corporeal being. The narrow path is for the spirit alone. And so again and again comes the practice that the presence of the Father here is myself. There is no presence here and a you. There is no corporeal you waiting for the presence. There is no presence and mortal being. The presence of the Father where you stand must be accepted as your being. Thou seest the invisible Father. Again, this must be a consistent series of contemplations. The statement of it is valueless. But in the acceptance, in the quiet, in the depth of being, that which is not of the Father is dissolved, and all that remains is the reality of self. That precious moment of a knowing that transcends all human knowing, a knowing that passeth all human understanding, and yet a knowing that is certain, a knowing that I am that invisible presence of the Father here and there. Here as the Christ, and there as the Christ, you are. And so, now, to glorify the Father, it must be clear that you must be that Christ. For as a human being, we have not glorified the Father. As a human being, none of the disciples could glorify the Father. As a human being, no man or woman can glorify God. But Christ, where you are, glorifies only the Father. And then, if we have said we love the Father, we must now, in deeds, reinforce our faith and our vocal dedication by being that Christ which alone can glorify the Father. And now corporeality is completely revealed, unmasked, exposed, as that which has no capacity to glorify the Father. But now, the corporeality is cast out. Now is the Father glorified. And yet, to make sure that we are not trying to glorify the Father with a finite sense of Christ, a sense of Christ which says, yes, I am the Christ, but cannot see that even Judas is the Christ, that mother, father, sister, brother are the Christ, that everyone in prison is the Christ, that everyone, everywhere is the Christ, a new commandment must be given, that you love one another as I have loved you. The loving one another, then, is the sign that you have accepted Christ. If you cannot love your neighbor, you must go back into the depth of silence, contemplating the universality of Christ, that your neighbor is incorporeal just as you are. Christ doesn't ask you to love your corporeal neighbor. Loving your neighbor is the revelation of the incorporeal nature of all who walk the earth in the garment of flesh. You are being lifted to a place where you are committing yourself to Christ, knowing that you must, if you wish to, enter the transfiguration of life. And so, Father, like Samuel, I must say, I am ready. I do renounce corporeal me. I will not live from that focus. I will not live from the focus of the pleasures of the form or the mind or even the pleasures of art and science. All these must be added things. The realization of Christ's self is first and foremost the way I seek the kingdom. And the walking as Christ's self, as an invisible being, who walks where every form appears, who sees self in all, everywhere. This is the love required of us. And if you're not capable of it, you continue until you are. Until you can transcend all human emotional obstacles which say, but that one isn't worthy, or that one hasn't earned the right to be loved. That one is doing wrong things at this very moment. Now, that isn't Christ speaking in us when we say that. That is the human sense self, which is still clinging to corporeality. And this is the purification, then, the love that refuses to witness corporeality, knowing that where Christ is, corporeality is the lie. Oh yes, it may appear that there's an invalid in the family. It may appear that there's a boy with problems with narcotics. It may appear that we're going bankrupt in the family business. All of this may appear in our corporeal sense. But if we cannot be lifted above human sympathies, human fears, human doubts, human exploitation, human hostility, human greed, all of these things which are part of the human sense of corporeality, then we cannot say, thou seest me, thou seest the Father. We're saying, I am not. Even while we're believing, I am. We have faith without works. And that faith without works continues for Peter until three times he shows that his human faith was not enough. You can't leave us now. I will give my life for you, says Peter. That is the love of persons speaking. That isn't Christ. The love of person in Peter cannot bear the thought of walking this earth without Jesus. Peter has not found I Christ within. But this is the way Peter is going to find I Christ. And it's going to help you and me find I Christ. For like Peter, if the Master walked with us, we would say, no, don't go. But the Master is walking with us, and the Master is not going. The Master is remaining. The place the Master is going to is not a physical place. The Master is now only going to be available at a higher level of our consciousness. And so Peter had reached the place where he could go no further. As a human being. As a human being, he typifies the entire world in its faith in Jesus Christ, or its faith in Buddha, or its faith in Krishna, its faith in person, no matter how exalted that person might be. When the moment comes, in self-preservation, that very same person finds their faith has no foundation. Three times when the cock crows. Now the cock crowing is a symbol of the dawn. Jesus is telling us there is a dawn. There is a dawn of a new age. When men will not assert their faith in their hearts or in their minds or in their words. They will assert their faith in the new dispensation. Ye believe in God, now believe in Christ within yourself. That was the dawn of the new age. The preparation for man to discover that where he stands today, the invisible Father is. That there is no place on the earth where the invisible God is not. That everywhere, God is individualized as the Christ of every person on this earth. The Father within, ever present, ever ready to glorify the infinite Father, not with words of faith, but with deeds. Deeds unloosed by that love, so sublime that enables us to conquer the corporeal sense of being. You see the challenge before you? Do you love, do you understand God enough to see that your only way to move to higher mansions is to face that there cannot be a spiritual, infinite God and a corporeal you? That is the duality which keeps us stagnant, separates us, makes us unable to manifest the divine qualities of the Father. Now we are presumably obeying this commandment. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You might add that by this will you know if you're a disciple. When you are moved in another way than by love, you're not walking in reality. You're unaware of where reality is and what it is. You're not in Christ. You're in duality. You're in a sense of a personal you, a sense of a personal him, a personal her, And oftentimes we are in this sense of a personal him and her when in some way we are threatened. Physically, financially, status-wise, or when someone we love in some way is threatened by some form of disability. This is the challenge that must be overcome. All disability is your corporeal sense made manifest. All desire for self-preservation is your corporeal sense denying Christhood. And it may seem to you almost inhuman to say that you're beyond the point of the need for self-preservation. But isn't that precisely the meaning of giving the sop to Judas? I am beyond the need for self-preservation. There is no power in that corporeal form called Judas, that corporeal form called Pilate, those corporeal forms called the Sanhedrin, those corporeal forms called the Roman Empire, because I am showing you the Christ way. You believe in God, now believe in the Christ way, which says there is no corporeality on the earth. All that is here is the Spirit of God seen through the corporeal sense of man. There are no physical senses to behold corporeality. They are as much a dream as that which they behold. And again, we dwell with these truths, letting our faith take us into love, into recognition of the invisible Christ everywhere, until we're walking in a Christ universe. Even trying to is a great step. And the dark night is that though you wish to do it, you find you cannot. And yet the wish to do it is the wish of the Father that you do it. And so you receive invisible aid. His will in you is that you believe on Christ as your identity. And if you will put forth the effort and restrain yourself from being that which you are not, you will find that I go before you. Now this should be clear to everyone, that it's not enough to declare I am, to declare Christhood, to know Christhood. You must come past the point of Peter, who says, I would lay down my life for you, and see that there is no you for whom you could lay down your life. You couldn't lay your life down for Jesus Christ or for Joel or for Mary Baker Eddy. That wouldn't help anybody. That would just be a denial of the teaching that your life is the life of God. You can't lay it down. The life you lay down is your false sense of self, and the life you pick up is that which you are. And that's what the Christ is asking us to do from within us. Lay down your sense of life and know that you are Christ's life now. And then walk forth as Christ's life, in the joy of it, in the peace of it, in the assurance of it, willing to face the challenges of being Christ's life, willing to look at every wrinkle, every obstacle, and walk into it with the knowledge that this that appears to me is a denial of Christ's life. I see no obstacle. The Father goes before me. We walk in the invisible self. You're not thinking of putting a physical body into the world. You're thinking of the invisible Christ body that you're walking in. And you know, it is immortal. It is you. It is eternal. It is present. It is unseparated from the Father. It is everywhere. Until you begin to know the joy that everywhere is the Christ body. Everywhere is the Christ self. and you find yourself bubbling up with the love of recognition that comes from this continued practice. People aren't people for you anymore. They are Christ invisible. These commandments are given to us by Christ in you, that ye love one another, as I in you have loved you. That as you believe in the Father, now believe in I in the midst of you, and in the midst of your name. World karma is broken that way. World beliefs that are forced upon us are broken that way. World beliefs that continue to pressure themselves through us into our daily experience are broken that way. Only the across-the-board recognition of the invisible Christ everywhere as the only presence breaks the karma of world beliefs and catapults you out of the false sense of being, which needs to preserve itself. And so the Master gives us the teaching, and the human sense mind in Peter says, oh no, I lay down my life for you. The Master replies, whither I go, Peter, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Human faith cannot follow Christ. It doesn't matter how deep your human faith is. Whither I go, Peter, thou canst not follow me. But Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. The human sense of faith, personalizing of Jesus, thinks that it can follow. But it hasn't come to the level of love of God. You cannot love God if you're stopping at loving person. You must love God where the person seems to be. And then you find a greater love. For the infinite love replaces the finite sense of a love in time and in space. The infinite love, which knows no end, cannot be described. You either have the experience of it, or you do not. But the love of the Father is certainly not the love of a human being. And the only way it can come to Peter, who symbolizes the faith of this world, of all religion, is through the recognition of Christ where Peter is seeming to be. Until then, there will be a three-time or a total denial of Christ's identity. And that is the state of the world today as it was then. The change is minute. A total disavowal of the presence of Christ on earth. And yet, those who disavow it are not here. And where they stand, only Christ is. And so now, the deeper teaching, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, now believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now hear these words within yourself, because that's the only place they can be spoken. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now you can say these mansions are levels of consciousness. You can say these mansions are new worlds. The fifth world, the sixth world, the seventh world, new heavens. But I'd like to see that, unless you include in your understanding that each individual on the earth is a divine mansion we do not understand the meaning of. In my Father's house are many mansions. Each individual in Christ is another mansion. And individuality in infinity is the mansion that we are. Again, the human mind is bewildered. How can God be infinite and I be infinite, and that wouldn't leave room for anybody else to be there? And yet, that's the meaning of many mansions. The miracle is that God is infinite, and you are infinite, and your neighbor is infinite, and everyone is infinite. Infinity individualizes its own infinity. That's the miracle of that which we call God. And that infinity is all that is here, individualizing, glorifying itself, activating itself, maintaining itself, being itself, expressing itself infinitely. And in your Christ self, that infinity expressing is you. Again, we have been told repeatedly, not until the Son of Man is lifted up in you will you know that I am He. There can be no human understanding of infinity. All we can do is talk about it. Christ now is demanding the experience of Christ, not the words. The experience of being a mansion which glorifies the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. And this is an interesting statement, because the place, again, is not a physical location somewhere. You see, Christ goes before you, opening new levels of receptivity. And each level of receptivity becomes a place where you receive of the Father. And this continuity of new places, new levels, is what happens when you have released yourself in Christ, so that in you, Christ alone is the only inhabitant of your being. It's as if you finally came to a place where you are truly without human thought, taking absolutely no thought in the deepest luxury, the deepest faith, the deepest love, the deepest confidence, that I can truly relax all human thought, resting in the sublime knowledge that here is no human being. Here is that which the human mind can never know, and therefore I release the human mind, accepting that here is infinity individualizing as its own spiritual self. I, Christ. Oh, to do that, to receive the response from within, to be lifted out of corporeal sense, corporeal mind, to be lifted out of time, to be released from the lie. And this is the place, then, that I go before you to prepare. And when you come to that place, you discover that I perform and I perfect, for in that place you have a new level of receptivity. And there will be a higher place, for I continue to go before you, as long as you take no thought for your life, as long as you take no thought for your corporeal sense, as long as you are willing to yield all desire for self-preservation at this level of complete surrender. This is supreme love, a love so great that you forget yourself. That's the purpose of the message now, of the inner teaching to the disciples as corporeal sense is released from the world mind. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If I go means that only if I go. Unless Christ is accepted, Christ does not go before you to prepare a way to lift you to higher consciousness, for you to receive more of the Father. And so I think you will find that for you, the three crows of the cock, are going to find you ready, not sleeping. One will say your physical being. One will say your lifespan is shortening. One will say you are limited. And to each crow you will say, my name is Christ. I will not deny thrice that which I am. Unlimited Christ, unlimited in time, unlimited in space, unconfined in matter, being without end, light. And the cock that crows for you has no reality. For we have passed the dawn. This is the new age. This is the spiritual age that was ushered in when the disciples were led into truth. This is the age. Now is the time. Now is the Christ of being. And all of us who have the capacity, the ordination, to dwell there, and if we fall a bit, to return there, and if we fall, to return again, to forgive ourselves as many times as we fall, but always to return to the knowledge that I, Christ, is my only self, my only name, my only being. And what I, Christ, does not possess, I do not possess. If I, Christ, does not have a heart, I do not have a heart. If I, Christ, does not have a physical form, I do not have a physical form. If I, Christ, is not working 8 hours a day, then that which works 8 hours a day is not myself. It is something other than myself. And if I dwell in I, Christ, the nature of that something other than myself will slowly find it is changing. And I am led to that self which I am, which is without a second. I do not question the Christ. I do not try to improve the Christ. I do not try to direct or outline to the Christ. There is no such me. I, without second, live in and as that Christ in every one, in my neighbor, as in myself. This continued practice is what the Master within is saying to you now. Believe in me. Why? Because I am the meat. I am the wine. I am the water. That water you drink out there in the fountain isn't the water. The meat you get at the butcher shop isn't the meat. That's feeding the corporeal body. I feed the mystical body. I am divine bread. That's why you must acknowledge me everywhere in all your ways. You will find that I can lift you higher and higher and higher into your transfiguration as a permanent dispensation. Do not pause to pick the briars out. They are not there. They are not in Christ. They are in corporeal sense. Oh, we feel so inadequate at this point. And so did they. So did they. He called them, in fact, little children. How blessed to be one of those little children. Little, because they were now little in their own eyes. Innocent. Returned to the Father's house. Children once more learning from the infinite Father. Not puffed up with their own self-knowledge. If we could be one of those little children, we're moving in the recognition of Christ everywhere. Innocent, guileless, open to receive from high within all that the Father has. Speak, Father, thy Son heareth. Thy Son who is ready to serve. Thy Son who is ready to be Christ, to see Christ, to know only Christ. Then you have the right to say, speak, Father. Because in being that Christ, you are saying it without saying it. The being Christ is the saying, speak, Father, thy Son here. And the Father who knoweth in secret speaks to the Christ that you have accepted as your being. And divine bread is showered upon you, hidden manna. Truth, wisdom, love, peace. All that is of the Father. All that we have not experienced because we had refused to be in corporeal Christ. We hoped in some way to squeeze a physical form into heaven. That kept pushing heaven up and up and up and out of reach. But here now in our incorporeal Christ, heaven is on earth. I think we can pause now for a few minutes. Come back to the 14th chapter.